UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
If you're just joining us, it's National Rubber Ducky Day. That's why we're playing that bit of musical interlude. But here's breaking news, big-time news. This is eyebrow-raising, actually. Wow. Talk about... I'm sure the fans, maybe they don't care, but Major League Baseball has suspended the Houston Astros general manager, Jeff Lunau, and manager, the field manager, A.J. Hinch, for a year. They're out for a year. After the Major League Baseball's investigation found the team used technology to cheat during its World Series winning 2017 season. How about that? Additionally, the Astros will be fined $5 million, which is the maximum that they're allowed to be fined by the whatever agreement. I don't know if it's a collective bargaining agreement. I'm not sure how that plays out because that's not a player's deal. $5 million, and they will not have first or second round draft picks in both the 2020 and 2021 drafts. That is a league that is making a statement there. I mean, a field manager out for a year, gone. The NFL did that with Sean Payton, but that is... that is an ominous thing if you're a Red Sox fan. Because discipline for the Red Sox manager, Alex Cora, is coming and is going to be very harsh, sources tell ESPN.
What did he do again?
So no players were disciplined by MLB in the Astros investigation. While Mets manager Carlos Beltran was part of it, sure, if there's some train wreck going on, the Mets have to be tangentially involved. He was a player at the time and thus is not going to be suspended. But Alex Cora is going to get whacked as well, evidently. Let's see. What kind of punishment could Red Sox manager Alex Cora receive in the sign-stealing case? They were doing the same thing. The Red Sox video sign still doing the same thing the Astros did. Alex Cora was a central figure in the Houston Astros' alleged video chicanery when he was their bench coach. That's why. And I guess they've had their own issue in Boston as well. I don't think the 50-game suspension is insane. But based on the fact they gave A.J. Hinch the whole year, I got a feeling that he may get half a season at least. So Alex Cora, I'll tell you, sign-stealing as part of the game. If the guy is sloppy, the catcher is, not...
That's gamesmanship.
Yes, that's gamesmanship. But using technology to blatantly cheat... is
that's illegal.
Yeah. And I think that puts a tremendous blot on it. I mean, maybe you're a fan, you're like, I don't give a damn. I'll suspend him. I'll trade a championship to suspend the manager for 10 years. But it's just incredible. Cora was introduced as the Red Sox manager in 2017 and kind of rolled in with a real kind of, that's the word I'm looking for, strut. Boston is a challenge, he said, but not for me. Ooh, wow. And he was, he won championship. And so there's a guy, there's nothing that people who don't like cocksure personas like better than when they get knocked down and, in this case, absolutely chopped off. I mean, this is not just a little slap on the wrist. This is three sources said in the 2018 season, the Red Sox used the video replay room to steal signs. So he was part of, he should get doubly whacked. He was part of it in Houston, and then he brought the thing to Boston. So, wow. But the Mets should get whacked, because first of all, they're the Mets. And secondly, Ken Rosenthal said that Carlos Beltran was the guy who built the Bang the Trash Can Slowly system. With Corey, he's the one that put it together. So now I have reason to not like him either. And plus, he, of all the teams he played for, he sucked with the Mets. He was good with, like, everybody but the Mets. As soon as he left the Mets, he was good again.
Oh, played like a Hall of Famer. Yeah. Everyone but the Mets.
Well, let's see. As we said, this is not gamesmanship. This is using technology to blatantly flaunt the rules. So we'll see. That's pretty strong stuff. Guy says, I'm serious. And, you know, not a bad idea. Let Dusty manage the Astros for a year. Why not? He's not going to come back full-time, long-term. He's got talent. They're not banned from the postseason.
They won't last super long in the postseason if they make it there with Dusty at the helm.
Oh, well, that's a good point. Wow.
I mean, big fan of Dusty, but yeah.
You only get 50 games for testing positive for steroids.
For your first offense.
But you know what? It's weird in a way. Fans correctly thought the steroid thing got completely out of hand, and you know, it did, and it's dangerous. Young players and doing it makes your pee-pee fall off. You know, you got all sorts of issues down, long-term medical issues to deal with. But this goes to the gambling thing. You know, the commissionership of baseball really only came about as a response to the Black Sox scandal to try and reinvigorate people to believe that the game had integrity. This is the kind of stuff that, as I've said, I to some degree, I don't like the steroid thing either, and I'm glad they cleaned it up. But as sad as it sounds, if that team's doing steroids and the other team's doing steroids, then at least they're playing on a crookedly level playing field, if that makes sense. But when you watch this, it's like you're watching something that's almost preordained that one team is going to have a tremendous advantage. So that's a strong statement. A.J. Hinch was the guy. Everybody wanted to get me an A.J. Hinch kind of guy. That was the talk in baseball. That's all these managers, you know, all these metrics guys. Get me an A.J. Hinch guy. Well, I got your A.J. Hinch guy right here. He's going to be watching. A.J. Hinch guy, go up to section 218. He'll be up there. Are we doing this still? Are we still in DraftKings mode or not? We are? Well, then if I should tell you that with the playoffs going on, the conference championship games are here. There's only a couple, few games left, three to be exact, in pro football. Don't get caught saying wait till next year, like the teams that are on the outside looking in. Get in on the action this weekend with the DraftKings Sportsbook app. With so much going on right now, and all sports really, they have great promotions running every day. Odds boosts, free bets. DraftKings has it all. Plus, DraftKings Sportsbook is not only safe and secure, where you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience, but DraftKings Sportsbook is America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to top it off, we got a deal for you right now. If you've not signed up before, you won't want to miss. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use code WHBE. Don't forget the code WHBE. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is going all out with a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. Don't forget the code WHBE and get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. 21 or older, Indiana only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Hey, did you see? Remember, I was talking about coaching. You can't really money whip guys to get them anymore.
Right.
ESPN says, well, in broadcasting, maybe that's not the case. Did you see what they're throwing at Tony Romo?
No.
Oh, my God. They are going to offer him supposedly somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 to $12 million a year.
Whoa.
To move to Monday Night Football. But
who's he replacing then? Booger?
Oh, yeah. Booger's. I mean,
well, no, I kind of.
Booger's.
Yeah.
I watched the other day and I was like, I mean, I didn't even play football. And I know that sounds like an egotistical mess, but I think I could do a better job.
He got better, but he still wasn't.
Oh, he was awful. And I feel bad for Joe Tess, but I wonder, because it's hard to gauge how good he is when he's working, you know, with just a bad such situation there. Booger may be the nicest guy. I don't mean it, but it's just he's bad. So, but here's the deal. Supposedly, the NFL has a new deal. I don't know. You know, this is all you need to know about the National Football League, is that they are so all-being and all-powerful. Think about this. They're the only league that can get their product on all of the networks, and they're still not done. They have CBS and Fox for the Sunday day games. They have NBC for the Sunday night game. They've got ESPN for the Monday night game. They started doing Thursday games, which are on, I guess, CBS, and are they on the NFL Network too? I don't know. They contracted to do a couple of games with the new YouTube broadcast. And my understanding is one of the reasons they want to go after Tony Romo is ESPN is going to possibly add their own Sunday games to the mix now. I mean, it's unbelievable. They've got, other than the Food Network, maybe they're going to air the pregame meals. I don't know, because they are everywhere. And they get all the stations to promote the other guys' games. That's part of the deal. If you want our games, you have to tell people, if you're on Fox, that tomorrow's game is on CBS. If you ain't going to tell them that, the deal's off. Because we're all one big happy family here. And for a bunch of, you know, that's how they built their league. They took a bunch of rich, kind of very often, you know, what goes with money is a little bit of arrogance, and they got them to buy in. Pete Rozelle got them to buy into this mindset that, hey, if it's good for the league, it's good for you. So buy into it. And that has been, that's gone on for 40 years now, and they still do it for all the criticism they get, and a lot of it is justified. I give them credit for that. They get it, man. I mean, they are the opposite of what horse racing was. When horse racing really had it going, and they did, if you go back 75 years, I mean, it was one of the main sports in the cultural landscape. And instead, everybody got nervous about their tiny piece of the pie. Don't put it on television. People won't come to the track. Don't do this. Don't do that. And eventually they sliced it. So, well, you got your slice, all right. But everybody's slice is razor thin now. The NFL's like, fine, keep slicing it. And the pie's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're getting richer and richer and richer. And you know, from listening, and again, we're products of our environment. I grew up in New York, which is a pro town, so I have a much higher level of personal affinity for the NFL than I do for the college game. But around here, it's the exact opposite. I'm sure that's fine. I'm not here to argue with you about it. They both have their charms. But all I know is when you look at the big picture, as I said, I deal with the reality. And the reality is that the NFL landscape in terms of the footprint that he has in this country is unlike any other sport right now. And college football is all over the airwaves because the championship game's tonight. But ESPN paid what I think, unfortunately, I have to say, is overpaid for the rights to this four-game playoff.
How much was it? It was something stupid.
I don't know,
stupid.
But you can't possibly make it back, because if you look at the amount of money just for the four-game playoff, it's three games, basically. And you can't make that amount of money in advertising. It's impossible to make it back, but they thought they had absolutely have it. So they have, you know, it's content, and they are promoting the snot out of it. And people are watching it. People are talking about it. I'm not saying it's not a valuable asset to have, but believe me when I tell you this, no matter how much you love college football, ESPN, Fox, CBS, NBC, all of them, given their druthers, would much rather have the NFL. That's just the reality of it. By the way, though, at some point you do have to wonder, I mean, for all the talk about I don't want to go to the stadium, I like to watch on TV, there was one of the games this weekend. I would have thought that the commercial load was the same for each game. Like, if you do a basketball game in college, you got the under 16, under 12, under 8, under 4 halftime, and then under 16, under 12, under 8, under 4 second half, and then the one additional called timeout in the second half. It's a lot of stoppages, but you know what it is. Same for every game. I watched a game yesterday. I don't understand how they do it in football, because it was ridiculous. There was a play. Guy got hurt. I understand you don't want to just stay there and watch the guy laying on the ground. So they ran. I mean, it seemed like it was 10. Well, it couldn't have been that many. It was probably 8 30-second commercials. Might have been 10. Might have been 5 minutes. Okay. They come back. The guy was okay. So, you see him walking off. Then they kicked the extra point because he got hurt on the touchdown. Kicked the extra point, took another commercial break. Guy kicked off, and it went out of the end zone. It was run back. It took another commercial break. I was like, they played 17 minutes of commercials, and the only actual play was a freaking extra point. That seemed unbelievable to me. And the other kick, there was no action. The guy just kicked it in the end zone. I was like, are you kidding me? It was unbelievable. It was absolutely unbelievable to me that, I mean, that one of the things they've tried to do in college basketball, and I think it's good, is they've tried to get away from that call timeout, automatic timeout. Like, in other words, if you are at 12:08 to play and a team calls a timeout, that counts as the under 12 timeout. Because we would have that where they'd go 12:08 and they'd call timeout and they'd run all those spots. Could be a full timeout and they'd come back. The guy would throw in bounds, would get deflected out of bounds, and then it'd be the under 12 timeout and we'd have another gigantic commercial break. And it was like, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. The NBA does a unique thing. Some of you may know, and I haven't done an NBA game now for ESPN in 2 years, dang it. I had actually learned it. It was it's set up like this. Each team, I think, gets 7 timeouts. And if you don't call one by a certain spot in the first quarter, this thing, 2 in the first quarter, and I think 3 in the second quarter, I think, it gets charged to you. So now I forget what it is. Like, I think it's the under 9, under 4. I don't know. I could look it up. NBA fans will probably know. Like I said, it's been a while since I've done a game. But, like, if there's no timeout called and you get to the first stoppage of play under the 9-minute mark, the visiting team gets charged a timeout. And then it gets to under 4, nobody's called a timeout, the home team gets charged a timeout. And the third quarter, the second quarter, it's the same thing. So basically, I think each team has kind of 4 mandated timeouts. Because there's 10 in the game. That wouldn't make sense. Wouldn't come out even. Or maybe it's 5 mandated timeouts. But then you have the other ones you can call. You get the 30s and the ones that you choose to call late in the game. So, but that's how they work it. So that there's no official timeouts. They're all charged to somebody. So that seems to work. I thought that was pretty good. Which is why I thought college could go to it. When I talked to Billis, he said the college's reluctance to go to quarters is they don't think they're going to get all their commercial breaks in.
Really?
Yeah, I don't see how. I mean, first of all, you have an added long block there between the first quarter and the second quarter. It's right. Like a mini halftime. So that's a whole crap ton of commercials. And then, based on what I remember, it's 2 mandated in the first quarter, 3 in the second quarter. That's 5. That's 5 and a half. It's the same thing college has. So I don't know what the hell that meant, because they should definitely go to quarters. They definitely should go to quarters. I'm a huge proponent of that. I don't see how that keeps you from getting your spots in, and it makes it so that we don't have those damn games where each team's have 7 fouls with 14 minutes to play, and then the rest of the half is just the proverbial parade to the foul line, which I think subconsciously affects the officials too, because then they start thinking, oh my God, we don't want this, and then you see a guy's head rolling on the floor, like, no foul, incidental contact. It's like, sir, he was decapitated. Nope, didn't see it. I mean, you know, so I don't think you want that either. So
sorry, just picturing the head rolling, you know, come on, Stripes, what the hell?
I don't think they call them stripes in basketball, but I think it's a hockey thing. But I don't know. Those are the things, like when I go, and now, I mean, I can't even stand it. I know you can say, well, get up and go to the bathroom, go get a beer, go flick. But when you're at the game, at least, they're very cognizant of the fact nothing's going on. So there's always something to watch. They're shooting T-shirts in the crowd. The people, the nice-looking cheerleaders are coming out to dance. Hockey's great because they got the crew that comes out, and these guys and girls are fantastic skaters. They come flying out of their little opening, and they skate down to the other end, and they have shovels. And they're skating and pushing shovels, and they shovel, and they get all the snow along the boards, and there's music playing, and they're shoveling it off, and then they skate off. And they kind of know their show. They're the show, too. So some of these guys, they're really flamboyant. They skating backwards, dragging a little plastic tub that's the ice is in. I'm like,
kind of gone away from damned entertaining. They used to have like cheerleaders in skimpy outfits that would come out.
It's too chilly. It's cold.
Sick. There's a little bit. They've kind of gone away from that a little, but there's still some.
I wonder, I mean, how do you feel about the little, and now we'll be back in 30 seconds. Those are where they split screen it. They go 30 seconds and the commercial plays on the right, and then they're showing you the thing on the left, and then they come back. I think that's not a bad idea, because I can deal with 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant, because you can literally count it down. You know exactly when they're coming back. And some of the commercials are actually kind of fun.
I've been watching the group. They've done a great job with the, whoever this guy is who plays the State Farm agent for Aaron Rodgers. He's perfectly cast in that. He's very funny. Did you see the one they had a new one there? He interrupts Pam Oliver. She's standing there on the sideline. And he comes
no, over. I haven't seen
that. That was yesterday. And then you got to tip my hat to Progressive. They had yesterday, they have Flo sitting on a chair. She's talking to a couple about insurance. And they interrupt the commercial for a halftime entertainment. It's the halftime break of the commercial. And they have, who's the guy who did, I can hear the song in my head. You'll never, oh God. Somebody tell me who it was in that commercial.
4379680 UPS jobs.
You know who it is. I can hear the song in my head.
You're not giving me much here. I'm sorry.
I don't want to sing on the air. That's why. But he plays literally like 10 seconds of a song, and then they close the curtain on him, and then they go back to the commercial. And now back to our commercial. That was our halftime show from
that's
Uncle Cracker. Is that who it was? Might have been him. I can't remember.
Okay.
No, it wasn't him, though. It was the other one. The other one. Like there's only one other musical act in the world. It wasn't Uncle Cracker. It was the Rolling Stones. Yeah. For the love of God. Thank you very much, sir. Smash Mouth. I love my listeners. Okay. Thank you. Give yourself a prize. Treat yourself well today. Go out and buy yourself something special.
Maybe a Papa John's pizza.
A Papa John's pizza, if you choose to buy one, you can get not only the pizza, although that would be darn tasty in its own right, but an extra large pizza with two, not one, but two toppings and a 2-liter for just $14. How do you get it, you may ask? Well, you use a radio promo code. Radio XL. Go to PapaJohns.com or use the Papa John's app, and Radio XL will get you that fabulous deal. Don't forget, the CFP National Championship, that's college football playoff, is tonight. All the sticks, we are everywhere. Pregame coverage begins tonight. ESPN 680, 105.7, and then 93.9 will join for the kickoff immediately after the Jeff Walls Show, starring Jeff Walls as the head coach of the Cards, Jeff Walls. That's at 8 p.m. here as well. The spread is currently... Our understanding is...
At our friends at the book at Caesars. By the way, I'm going to pull that up. There's a quick little Antonio Brown story that's just nuts we might need to touch on. I'm pulling up the odds as we speak, but Maben might have just won...
5.5.
We want to know Wednesday.
It's 5.5. LSU's 5.5-point favorite, which is brought to you by our friends at Caesars Southern Indiana, where Kentucky and Bet Sports.
Yes, it is 5.5. You are correct. Maben just sent this along, said that that's really Aaron Rodgers' agent. In the commercial.
Get out of here.
That's what Maben just said.
That would be amazing. I don't believe that to be true.
Also, Entz passed along that he just wrote a preview for tonight's championship game for Bet America and said that his analysis matches New York Mike's to take LSU weighing the points.
Let's see. Is that for real? No, David Dunn is Aaron Rodgers' agent, and that's this guy right here. Come on, Marcus. Don't be making crap up like that.
Man,
Shouldn't do that.
If he knowingly just passed that along, I'm going to be mad at my man.
David Dunn is one of the top agents in the world. He's negotiated over $848 million in contracts, most notably that of Aaron Rodgers. Is that Aaron Rodgers' real agent in the State Farm commercial? This, according to, there's these websites, and they may be great. They literally may be the greatest sports website in the world, but I have to confess, I've never heard of any. The Spun, do you know that? Is that people?
The Spun?
Is it like people who like sports but also weave or knit or something?
I've heard of Deadspin, never heard of The Spun.
Unless you think it's a satire, maybe it's like The Onion, it's a takeoff on.
Maybe.
I'm always careful about getting caught in that. No, he's not. Gabriel is an actor, the guy who plays his agent named Gabriel. Is that his name? But his name is David Hayden Jones.
That's a good actor name.
Yeah, I think he's really funny in that role, that one where he's trying to get them to congratulate him for the pun he makes on insure the car in the Mahomes. Come on. Aaron? No. The men and the women in the red shirts
are real
agents. That I know.
Yeah, she's pretty good in that role, too.
So.
She's just like, nope.
Nope. That's very funny. All right.
So by the way, Maben just sent me this.
We've debunked
Maben. He said, I've been duped as well.
Yes.
So he got duped.
All right. Well, that's okay, Marcus. I have a lot of sympathy for that because
that would have been awesome, though.
We've been duped. I've been duped in worse ways. We thought we had thought we had Tom Seaver on the phone, and, you know, and then that guy who used to like to send all the, you know, the Bart Simpson, who's real life Bart Simpson would send us. Is there a
huge ass?
Yeah,
always my go to one.
Why
funny,
doesn't the NCAA go to quarters? I don't know. That's what I've tried to say. I don't know. The Billis said that he thinks they think it somehow impacts their commercial loads, but I don't understand how. Oscar from The Office used to be in those. Yeah, he was in with James Harden. That was funny. That one made me laugh when the song comes on and they're in the house with Chris Paul and James Harden and the whatever the mascot's name
oh,
is.
Oh, and the gun.
And he hears the music, and so he immediately breaks into timeout mode, and he takes the gun and he starts firing
T-shirt cannon just starts
all around there. That is laugh out loud funny. That's pretty good. So there you go. Nope. Sorry, folks. I'm sorry to disappoint you. It's not his real agent or his real assurance agent. He's an actor. I just gave you his name. My God, the Astros are a mess. They had a GM assistant that was advocating publicly for domestic abuse. They've just had their general manager suspended for a year and their manager suspended for a year. What a spitstorm of negativity. You got that right. And that's not the media creating that. That's absolutely true. All right. Yeah, you know, it's a good point. This is a guy who likes baseball, so I'm giving him his due. God bless you, sir, to keep my sanity. I used to think Beltran wasn't very good with the Mets, but remove the Adam Wainwright AB, because that's the one they all remember in the playoffs against St. Louis. Take that out of his name and look at his numbers. They were really good, borderline exceptional, and his defense was always good. Yeah, that's true. All right, I'll give you that.
He was, I will say, I think in the last year of MLB Showdown, the best sports game of all time. I think he was a hologram. I think they did. He was
who,
a hologram.
Beltran? Beltran. Of course he was. He was a great player.
Yeah.
There's no question.
I think
about
it was
that.
Him, David Wright, and Carlos Delgado, I think.
See, this is Bob's a homer for Chris Mack. Let his record speak for itself. And again, once again, I don't want to be that guy, but I can't help it. I'm right so often that I can't just sit here and be quiet. This guy's pissed off for one reason. Take a guess what the reason is. Take a guess how he's defining him.
He lost to UK.
Exactly. Two games. He's played him twice. That's his criteria. That's all he cares about. He's not apologizing for it. He's like, damn it, that's 85 minutes of basketball. That's enough for me to know. I mean, are you kidding me? And so what can I say to a guy like that? It's ridiculous, sir, but if that's how – Pitino at UK in his first two seasons against U of L, 1-1. Pitino at U of L in his first two seasons against UK, 1-1. Pitino is picking up bad programs like Chris Mack. Mack is 0-2. Give him time and he may beat UK. But ultimately, until Cal leaves – you got two games. Sir, I can't say this with enough respect. It's a Jack Wattian take. It's two – bleeping games. It's 85 minutes of basketball, one of which he lost on the road in overtime. I mean, I can't help you. I just can't help you. If you got children, we've been in that situation. You take your kid and you say, I'm just telling you, the best way to handle this would be for you to, I don't know what it might be, go get your tires rotated. That would be the first thing. And then have them look at the fluid in the transmission. And the kid comes back and says, I had them put on new rims and I had them change the headlights. And you know what? It's unbelievable. I'm still sliding all over the road. Okay, well, what do you want from me? I gave you. You know why? Because when I was sliding on the road before for a minute, I couldn't see where I was sliding, so I figured it must have been the headlights. Okay, that's good for you, Spunky. I don't know what I can tell you. It's just, you know, you're probably right, Texter, and I should run away from that. He could just be a UK fan that would love to see. You know, them continue to lose. Who knows? It's ridiculous. Knicks, new rejoin for Locke tomorrow. I don't want to be that guy, but I'm right so often it's hard. Bob at 234. And I don't know whether you like the fact that I said it's hard or it was Lockovian to say I'm right, but I mean.
Yes.
Well, but I was. I mean, what can I tell you? It's like apologizing. This guy's in the room. There's eight guys. It's seven. No, it's not. It's nine. No, it's not. It's five. And you're listening. What are they talking about there? How much 2-2 is? You got four matchsticks in your hand. You go, folks, look, here's two. Here's two. Now, Tommy, count them. What do you get? Well, it's four, but you might be hiding three. It's seven. No, it's not really seven, Jack. I'm telling you, it's 22. You got two in one hand, two in the other. That's the definition of 22. Really, sir, it's not. No, I'm telling you, as a
not
fact.
Not two, not three, not four.
What do you do about
not
that?
Not five.
I mean, I don't want to be that guy. Oh, you're playing that. You coach, so you know. No, I'm not. I'm asking you to allow me to do my job. And my job is to, if you have analysis that is rooted in fact, I give you credit and say, that's a great point. And I do that a lot. But when you come on with, he's a homer, or you know what you're talking about, or he's an idiot, or you hear firsthand from somebody who's involved in it, you know, this team has, I don't know, I'm making things up here, but this team has problems. And what are you basing it on? We just heard in the press conference say how I'm with them and I see how they interact with each other. No problems. I see them at practice. No problems. They listen. They try. They work hard. They respect each other. Ryan, earlier in the press conference, when he met the media today, talked about how Dwayne Sutton told him, listen, I get the ball on the break. You run hard. I'm going to find you. And if I don't have the ball on the break, I'll find you that way, and I'll try and screen for you because we got to get you shots. Okay. I mean, give me an example. I mean, I'm sorry. I feel bad because I don't like to single kids out. But you know I said this. I thought David, and I will say this till the day I die, did a terrific job keeping this program from splintering into 10,000 pieces. And you've seen similar situations at other schools, and it takes years to pick the pieces back up. It still was in a rough state for Chris to take it over, but he absolutely did a terrific job holding it together. I think he was compromised in some areas because you can't really be a hard ass because they know chances are you're not going to be the guy to get the job full time, and you know you don't have a lot of latitude. So he let some things, I think, go understandably. One of those was Deng Adel, though. I thought Deng very early on played for himself, and that's the reality of it. So they didn't have a great chemistry there. I thought I was dumbfounded at that. And you know, and then when you see he makes this foolish mistake against UVA, and then I say to myself, listen, all right, you're trying to play for an NBA deal. Sometimes you get a selfish guy, you can channel that to your favor, but the guy's still got to be aware of what the team needs. And that was the most ridiculous, literally the most ridiculous loss I've ever seen. I'm sorry, it just was, and he was right in the middle of that. So, yeah, so I've seen that, and that was a byproduct of the fact that there were a lot of kids that were not playing for the whole group. But David held it together as best he could, given that circumstance. So I'm not just being Pollyanna here. I'm telling you, these kids work hard. They listen to them. They respect them. They like them, and they like each other, and they're trying to play the right way. And so that's how I'm going to report it. I'm sorry. That's the way it goes. I got to get out of here. They're going to Pittsburgh, and if I'm not at the airport, they'll leave my ass behind. That's how it works.
I forgot about that. So on the other side of this break, we're going to do a
bowling. Bowling updates from across the bowling landscape.
Yep.
Not going to do bowling?
No. First off, before you go, you should tell everybody about Universal Windows.
I can't. I got to go. I really do. You can do that. I'm serious. I should have left at 2:30. It's 2:40. I'm leaving. Everybody have a great day. We'll do the show from Pittsburgh tomorrow. I'll see
Chris
you
Mack presser on the other side.
Thanks. See you.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Well, Bobby B's off to the airport to travel to Pittsburgh with U of L. A little earlier today, Louisville head coach Chris Mack met with the media. That was brought to you live on ESPN 680, 105.7, courtesy of our friends at Class Act Federal Credit Union. It's like straight A's for your money. Text ESPN 2-502-212-3167 for a chance to win weekly Visa gift cards. So Chris Mack's presser coming up next. Andy Sweeney and the take will come to you at 3. Pat Forty, he'll join from New Orleans at 4:15. So without further ado, Chris Mack.
Yeah, I thought the last two games, you know, we certainly built good leads. We got to be able to hold on to them. It's been a little bit of an issue, as you know, with our team, but you know, the season is a long one. It's a marathon, and you can't get caught up too much and, you know, where you're at a particular point in time. You just got to worry about continually getting better, get your guys to come to practice with a lot of energy, with that same focus. And so, yeah.
Is there any common denominator that you've seen in those games where you have built big leads but then
I wouldn't say there's a common denominator. I think in certain games, what plagued us is we got a little bit greedy with our shot selection. It wasn't the case against Notre Dame. I mean, if you go back and look and, you know, you get, you know, from the outside, you say, like, what the hell's wrong? Like, how can they not hold a lead, put the foot on the gas? And it's like the shots we were creating to start the second half, we can't get better shots. And that was an issue for us at times when we've held leads, you know, getting errant with our shot selection. Now, having said that, it'd been nice when we missed a few of the close ones, a few of the open ones, to be able to get on the offensive glass and not just be a one-and-done team on offense. Dwayne did get one, kicked it out to Jordan, gets an open shot. We'll take that look every single time. But, you know, so I wouldn't say there's a common denominator. What was really nice to see, as I said on Saturday, is our response late when things were going the wrong way for our team.
Do you feel a little comfortable with the lineup that you've been using now from start the game, finish the game, just having different guys in the rotations?
Yeah, I just want to see more consistency out of a few of our guys. You know, knowing what you get as a coach is really, really important. And, you know, at times some of our guys have been really good, gone really good, and then other times it's, you know, like a different player. And we got to be a little bit more consistent with our results. But you know, the effort, by and large, has been good on the defensive end. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it wasn't a 24-hour virus. He's been sick for, you know, quite a few days, but I think it's at the tail end, you know, now, and hopefully he's a better version of himself tomorrow night.
Malik had a big night against Pittsburgh last time out there. Are you going to leave with them later?
I think Malik, you know, is, you know, the centerpiece of our defense. You know, I think he's a guy that always knows what's happening on the floor. He's going to battle. He plays different personnel. We can put him on a four. We can put him on a mobile five or a guy under the basket. Offensively, he's got to finish around the basket, and he's got to take good shots. And, you know, if he does that, then yeah.
Looking back on the first Chris, what do you think enabled you to win that game?
If you're going to beat Pittsburgh, you have to be able to keep their guards out of the lane. You know, they play extremely downhill, whether it's off of a ball screen, whether it's off of isolations in space, whether it's in transition. Those two guards, I'm talking about McGowan's and Johnson, are trying to get their chest into the lane and then figure out from there what they want to do, whether that's draw a foul, finish, you know, kick out. They'll do it all. And they're the engine for their team.
Yeah, it's a version of this on the teleconference. It always comes up when you've got these games back-to-back like this. Do you worry about the focus at all going into the Tuesday's game with the big games?
They're all big. I mean, I don't even want to really respond to that question. I don't look at it that way. I don't think our players look at it that way. It's hard to win on the road in conference. So, you know, whether we win, whether we lose tomorrow, have zero to do with what you all perceive as a big game on Saturday.
With, you know, Dwayne's threes and then Ryan making those two drives to the basket, those are things that they don't necessarily do most of the time, kind of more uncommon. Do you think that as the schedule goes on, you're going to have to rely on them to be able to make those types of reads more and more?
Well, I think what we have to rely on is not just Jordan. And to see Ryan step up as a fifth-year senior on the road, to see Dwayne, not even just the threes, which were obviously huge plays down the critical moments of the game, but his willingness to drive the ball, create contact, get in the lane. We need multiple threats on the floor, and it's my job to figure out how to use those guys in ways that that they can be threatening. And so that's what my goal is, to try to help our offense so that Jordan doesn't feel this immense amount of pressure to have to score 30 points for us to win.
Chris, what did you think the difference was with Ryan? He had a small pocket there where shots weren't falling and they weren't coming easy for him, but then, you know, a little bit of a breakout.
I give Ryan all the credit in the world. No one likes you know, going from being a starter to coming off the bench. You know, no one likes that. But he was very accepting of it. You know, he's all for the team. And, you know, he didn't play very well in the times that he was a starter down the stretch and also when he first came off the bench. But, you know, he and I had a conversation, and you know, I knew Ryan was all in. You know, he came to me, which just shows his investment level. You know, I really think it just starts with the player. You know, what is his mindset? And Ryan, like I said, he's been through a lot of games. He's a fifth-year senior. The season means and the team means a lot to him. And so sometimes you have to have some conversations with yourself and figure out a way to be better. And he's done that.
You mentioned this.
I think so. I think they're beginning to understand what ownership of the team means. The older players are going to be the guys that set the tone, that do those type of things or not. And, you know, they've been through enough games now to know what they need to do in order to finish games, in order to be prepared for games. And so those type of moments are really good to see.
Chris, you were talking about consistency earlier. Fresh on Saturday didn't play a ton. I mean, I think it was about 21 minutes. But in the end, he made two huge plays that kind of helped. I mean, Dwayne made the two threes, but his two drives were key. Is consistency for him – you need him on the floor at the end of the
Yeah, game. Absolutely. Consistency for everybody, Jody. But, you know, when you're specifically talking point guard position, and, you know, we've had those conversations at this very table, it's huge for your team. And Fresh has always, for the most part, done his job on the defensive end. But offensively, he can't be a zero. And some of the plays he made down the stretch at Notre Dame when the chips were down was really good to see.
You said Ryan came to you, Chris, looking for a solution, advice, or what was his purpose?
No, he was not looking for a solution. He was not looking for any advice. He was specifically telling me, Coach, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better on defense. I'm going to be better on offense. You know, and again, I think it's easy to say that, but when you've been around a guy for a couple of years, you know if he's just trying to say that so he doesn't get taken, you know, more minutes out of his pocket or if, you know, he has a belief that, you know, he's going to change some things.
Coach, it was said on a telecast that you told the guys, like, stop looking at the bench and kind of push the pace. Was that, like, game-specific or is it something you're seeing?
It was my fault. You know, earlier in the year, you know, games like Michigan. See, our team, you know, our team over the last 2 years, Marcus, has been that team that, like, you couldn't tell in the 35th minute of the game that the time and score was different from the fifth minute. You know, just an example off the top of my head, played Duke at home last year. We're up 23 points. Guys are shooting transition threes with 9 minutes left, and it's like 4 seconds into the shot clock. And they didn't have the experience. They didn't understand that, like, hey, there's a way to play when you're winning. You know, you're up 8 points with 4 minutes. You want to take some time off the clock and execute and get a great shot. The other team's panicking. You're going to get fouled, whatever the case is. But, like, worst case scenario, we're going to go down to the other end of the floor. There's going to be 30 seconds less time on the clock and now not as many possessions. And that's how you play. Our team didn't understand that. And so there were a few games, Michigan, where it's like I'm putting on the brakes with 6 minutes to go and telling those guys, like, we're going to run this play. And this play has five or six passes. We're going to get the shot we want. And that sort of went into too many possessions over the course of too many games where my point guard's looking over at me. So it's my fault. It's his fault. So we've made a conscious effort over the last three or four games to quit looking at me. Quit looking at me. We want to play faster. We want to try to free up Ryan in transition and Jordan in transition. And, again, the more responsibility or the more freedom I give them, the more responsibility they need to have with that freedom.
Anything else, Coach?
Thanks.
Well, there you have it. That was Chris Mack on earlier today on ESPN 680-1057. That's brought to you by our friends at Class Act Federal Credit Union. It's like straight A's for your money. Text ESPN to 502-212-3167 for weekly Visa gift cards. Andy Sweeney has the take next. Pat Forty will join him at 415. It's ESPN 680-1057.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.